Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood that cleanseth us from all sin. Turn me up a tad there, Brother James. Am I on? Amen. Boy, how many are glad you saved again? Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Man, thank God for the blood. Wasn't for the blood, we'd all be, like the song said, hopelessly lost. Amen. You got a lot of religions, even some Baptists taking the blood out of their song books, taking the blood out of their message. You know what you're doing? You're just eradicating salvation when you take the blood out. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter number 12 with me this morning. Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. I'm going to preach to you a little bit this morning out of the book of Luke, and then we're going to go to the book of Psalms and look at several scriptures in the book of Psalms. But I want you to look first at Luke chapter number 12. Say amen when you get there. Let's look at verse number 16, and we're going to read this parable about this rich young fool. How many of you have played the fool from time to time? King Saul said at his death, I have played the fool. Sometimes we think mighty foolishly, and this young man did also. The Bible said, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say the next two words with me, my soul. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, say the next two words with me, thou fool, this night, next two words, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Jesus looked at this man and said, you're a fool. He said, I'm going to say to my soul, soul, I'll tear down my barns and build greater barns. And the Lord said, thy fool, thy soul, this night thy soul will be required of thee. How many of you realize you have a soul? How many of you realize, I'm going to try to explain to you what that soul is. I remember back in the 70s, it kind of became a slang word. Y'all remember that? They had the TV show that came on, Soul Train. Then they had Soul Food, and they called each other Soul Brother. Now, I was a redneck. We didn't have no soul brothers. We had skull brothers. Amen. But and what it literally meant that you was cool or you was hip, that kind of thing. But we must realize that it's not a slang thing or a slang thing. We all have a soul. God said, let us make man in our own image. Man is a tripart being, just like God is a tripart God. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're three, but they are one. Somebody said, I don't understand that. Well, this will kind of help you this morning then if you can't understand it. God is three, but he is one. Let me say it again. God is three, but he is one. A couple times in the Bible, we have them all three showing up at the same time. In the muddy river Jordan, as John baptized our Savior, Jesus is in the water being baptized. God from heaven spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, and who I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit of God descended like a dove out of heaven. There they all three was at the same place at the same time. Hallelujah. And God said, let us make man in our own image. I want man to be like us, a tripart being. So you are a tripart. Part B, and you're three, but you're one. Amen. Let me say it again. You're three, but you're one. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. Amen. Now, stay with me. How many volleyballs have I got in my hand? One, but yet it's three. I've got one volleyball in my hand, but yet there's three parts that make up this ball. There is this outer leather cover. And if you'll see, I've got a hole torn in this volleyball right here. You can see this inner tube right here that's on the inside. And then on the inside of that inner tube is compressed air, which gives this ball buoyancy, or, let me say it like this, life. Without the air inside that inner tube, this ball would be dead. Without the Spirit living inside the child of God, we're dead. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1.
Amen.
Amen. Now this inner tube on the inside of this volleyball represents the soul. It's the soul. The air inside the tube represents the Spirit, and this part on the outside represents the body. The body is all we can see. The body is all we can see. This body, but listen, this body will perish. The body we're walking around in will perish, but this soul will live forever and ever and ever and ever. Somebody said, what's the soul look like? Can we describe what a soul looks like? It's shaped just like this body. It's identical on the inside to this body. We've got the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, where Lazarus lay at the rich man's gate and begged for food and begged for alms or money. And he died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. We have the rich man who also died and was cast into hell. And the Bible said, and in hell he lifted up his what? His eyes. Did his body go to hell? No, sir. His body went in the ground. His body did not. I told him at Aunt Bonnie's funeral the other day, I said, this old body she lived in, I said, that ain't Aunt Bonnie. That's just a house she lived in. Hey, she just changed the dresses. She moved out of that old outer covering and moved into a brand. Woo! And moved. I might get shouting happy right here in a minute. She moved out of that old outer covering. You see, the more that old covering is bounced, the more that old covering is used, the more that old covering is played with, hey, it wears out over time. And that old body, that old outward part wore out. And by the way, your old outward part's going to wear out too. It's going to give up. Amen. I remember when Terry was thinner. That's a while back, wasn't it, Terry? I remember when he was a lot younger. I remember when Brother Charles's hair was a lot darker. I remember when Stacy had some. I remember, you know what's happening? Our old bodies are getting older, and as they age, they wear out. But thanks be unto God, I got a new one waiting. I got a brand new, good God Almighty, I got a brand new one waiting on me somewhere in glory. And one of these days I'm moving out of the old, and this soul that's on the inside of me, it's moving into my new house. Hallelujah. We have a house in the heavens. Hallelujah. Does that kind of help explain the body, soul, and spirit? You have a soul on the inside of you. Now listen, that soul has a condition. It is either saved or it is lost. There's no gray area. Well, I've been baptized. Well, you can go to hell wet. There's no salvation in that water up there. It's city water and probably got a cockroach floating in it. There ain't nothing holy about that water. And by the way, there ain't nothing holy about that water down at the Catholic house either. Y'all listen to me. What's holy is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, well, I've been a member of the church for 45 years. Hey, you can be a member of the Ku Klux Klan for all I care. But membership in a club or membership in an organization ain't taking you anywhere. When it comes to heaven and hell, your membership in the Masonic Lodge will do you as much good as your membership in a Baptist church. Amen. It ain't where you're a member of, it's who you're a member of. Amen. I'm a member of His body. Hey, my soul is saved. My soul was lost, and I got born again. Amen. I'm glad my soul is saved. If I take my last breath, like my little sister did, or like Aunt Bonnie did, hey, when I take that last breath, that soul is leaving this body. It's coming out. And my soul, I know where it's going. But your soul is going one of two places. You said, how could that rich man in hell, how could he have eyes? And he asked Lazarus could come and dip his finger in water and touch his tongue, for he is in torment in those flames, because his soul, again, was like the shape of that body. Yeah. Now, go to Psalms. I want to look. Psalms, in the book of Psalms, he says, I'm trying to remember how many times, 120 times in the book of Psalms, 120 times the psalmist uses this phrase, my soul. My soul. I used to hear people say that all the time. You know, something had happened, they'd go, my soul. They'd hear some bad news and they go, oh, my soul. I didn't realize. You know, that's a Bible term. That's a Bible term. And the psalmist used it 120 times. So this morning, I've got 120 points. Some of y'all looking a little squeamish right there. Amen. But I want to preach about the soul just for a little bit this morning. Try to be a help to you and try to be a blessing. Why don't you look at Psalms 23. Psalms 23. And I may just get stuck right here because I'm just telling you, I can't get over the fact that I'm saved. Psalms 23, are you there? Look at verse number 3. David said, he, say the next word, restoreth what? My soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. Let me say first of all this morning, thank God Almighty, my soul has been restored. My soul, has your soul been restored this morning? Hey, I'm glad I've been through the restoration process. Amen. And hey, when God restores something, he makes it better than it was from the factory. Are you listening? I restored a 72 Super Cheyenne short bed pickup, four-wheel drive, factory four-wheel drive. I'm telling you, somebody, I feel goosebumps right there. I built that truck from the ground up. And you know what I did? I restored it. It was a mess when I found it. How many of you was a mess when Jesus found you? I'm talking about a junkyard wreck, man. That's all I was. I wasn't good for anything. My own daddy even said that I wasn't good for nothing. Said I was going to wind up dead or in jail. That little did he know there was somebody in the restoration business who said, you wait till I get my hands on him. Hey, I've got a work to do on that boy. Amen. And when God got through restoring my soul, he made me better than I was from the factory. Amen. You know what I did when I built that truck? It had them old drum brakes. Man, you can't stop them. They take a mile to get it stopped if you're pulling something. I took them drum brakes off that truck and I put disc brakes on there. Power disc brake. You know what God did when he saved me? He gave me the power to stop. Amen. He hadn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hey, I didn't have power to control my life. That old truck didn't have power steering, but we put power steering. Gave us power to turn. Hallelujah. I'm glad when God restores your soul. Somebody said I'd get saved, but I'm afraid I can't live it. Just join with me, the Can't Live It Club. Amen. Can't none of us live it. There's none good, no, not one. If there's anything good about you, it's the precious Lamb of God, plus nothing. You say, well, I feel like I'm a pretty good person. If you are, God made you that way. Amen. It ain't on your merit, friend. I guarantee you that. Everybody looks churchy around here this morning, but they just a bunch of dressed up sinners. That's all they are. You got a bunch of wickedness wearing ties and dresses, toting King James Bibles. I'm here to tell you, every one of us is jacked up from the floor up, make God want to throw up, but thank God we've been through God's body shop and we've been restored. Amen. I'm glad he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Hey, I hadn't been saved over and over and over. But I have been restored over and over and over. I came in this morning weak, and I came in weary. I came in with a heavy heart, but them babies got to singing. I've been through enough, but to know that he'll be enough. I felt a little glory come down in my soul. Made me want to shout and just kick my heels up a little bit. Thank God he restored my soul. Have you ever come to church just feeling like you should have stayed home? But left, sure glad you came. Amen. That's because we serve one who can restore our soul. But that soul, first thing, that soul's got to be saved. You must know Christ as your Savior. I told Levi sitting right here in the chair this morning, I said, I'm about to jump out of my skin. I've been preaching about 25 years. I've preached thousands of sermons all over this country and in other parts of the world, and I still get as nervous as I did the very first. I felt like I need to go back there to the bathroom and vomit. I'm telling you, buddy, I just tore out of frame. Every time I get that way, every time I get tore up like that, it's because there's somebody sitting in this building who is lost and on their way to hell, and God's burdening my soul for your soul this morning. Don't leave here without your soul being restored. Amen. I'm glad I serve one who can restore my soul. Amen. Look at Psalms chapter number 25. Psalms chapter number 25. My soul is restored. But now I want you to notice in Psalms 25 and verse number 1, I want you to notice my soul requesting. My soul, after it is restored, can make request unto God. David said, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I was sitting up here on the chair while there was a singing a while ago. Stacy looked up at me and he said, you want to pray? I said, yes, sir, I do. And I got up in that altar right there. You know what I did? I just lifted up my soul before God. You know what that means? Have you ever heard of somebody saying, I'm bearing my soul? I'm bearing my soul there. I don't know where that ball went. In other words, what he's doing, he's saying, I'm taking the cover off God. I'm taking the cover off God. I don't want to tear up Brother Greg's ball, but I'm take the cover off God. And I'm going to let you see what I really am, that on the inside. And I piled up in that altar and I said, God, I know I don't deserve, Lord, you to hear a word I got to say. I'm just a wicked old sinner, God, but thank you for your mercy and thank you for your grace. Help Pop today. Help my dad get through this day, God. Oh, Lord, we need your help. I'm glad I can come to God and request whatever I need. He says, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what he's got. Are you listening? You saw I got a broken heart. He's got a remedy. He's got a remedy. He said, I've got a relationship problem. He's got a remedy for that too. He's like Apple. He's got an app for everything. Amen. I got a Bible at the house, a study Bible. It's called a Life Application Bible. He has a app for everything in your life. There's an app for your marriage. We're going to talk about young'uns in here tonight. There's an app for, I'm talking about an application. There's an app for raising your young'uns. Hey, I'm glad we can come to God and ask him anything. Amen. You know why we can? Because he already knows it. So if he already knows it, why do I have to ask? He wants you to realize it. He wants you to realize you need his help. You say, preacher, I'm broke. Hey, there's an app for that too. Amen. He's got it. We ain't prosperity preachers around here. We ain't name it, claim it bunch. I'm not telling you if you'll give a good offering this morning, gold's going to drip off the ceiling. That's a bunch of foolishness and lies straight out of hell. Amen. Remember the little widow lady that came and gave Jesus the mite? Her offering, them other guys was making a big deal about the big offerings. Whose did he honor? That little poor woman. Let me say it again. That little poor woman. This crowd on TV preaching, if you're poor, you're out of the will of God. You out of your stinking mind. Jesus lived here 33 and a half years. Didn't have a house. Didn't have a bed. He was homeless. I'm talking about the Son of God. Homeless. If it was good enough for Jesus to be poor, it's good enough for you to be poor. I'll be honest with you. I'm about to kick myself for saying this, but it's my heart. I'm glad I ain't rich. I'm serious, heart attack. I'm afraid I might turn out like some of these snobs. Amen. Because I'm poor, I realize every day I have need of God. God, this world's bigger than me, and my problems are bigger than me. I can't pay off my problem. Oh, but God, you can. God, I can't fix everything that's wrong. Oh, but God, you can. I'm glad after my soul has been restored, my soul can request of God. Listen, you ain't going to catch him off guard. There's nothing you can. You're not going to tell God something to him and go, oh, you don't mean it. Hold on, I got to tell the Holy Ghost about this. You're not going to catch him off guard. He already knows. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. But he needs you to take what he already knows and what you already know and come together on that thing. Amen. And get that situation fixed this morning. Some of you, if you don't come requesting, you're going to be divorced. I would rather request of him than have her request of me.
We okay this morning?
Amen.
My soul is restored. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven when I die. If I quit breathing while I'm preaching, just know Brother Eddie ain't here. He's in heaven. Amen. There's going, I believe it was D.L. Moody, got held up one time on the street. They was going to mug him, and the guy put a gun to his head. He said, "Don't you dare threaten me with heaven."
Yeah.
Wasn't that D.L. Moody? I believe it was D.L. Moody. "Don't you dare threaten me with heaven, man." Hey, the very worst thing that can happen to us is the best thing that could happen to us.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to go before my time. I want to go when God wants me to go. But when I go, I'm glad I know where I'm going. And where I'm going is a place called glory. And it's far better than where we at today. Hallelujah. I'm going to trade that old outer covering for a new outer covering. Amen. And that soul will live forever and ever and ever. My soul is restored. My soul can now request in prayer to God. Look at Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34. Now watch this. This is pretty cool, man. My soul, because it has been restored, can now request, now watch after the request, Psalms chapter 34 in verse number 2. "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." Let me say it again. "My soul shall boast in the Lord." You know what that word boast means? It means to brag. It's not okay to brag on yourself. I hate to get around people who do that all the time. Brag and brag and brag. Hey, but we can brag on the Lord all day long and it won't be enough. We can brag on Jesus till He comes again and we'll never brag on Him too much. Hey, listen, my soul has been restored, and because it's been restored, I can make request in prayer, and because I can make request in prayer, I can report what the Lord hath done.
Amen.
Woo, how about that? Brother Charles got up here this morning and done a little reporting. Brother Charles was doing a little reporting, told about a 75-year-old man getting saved. Do you know how seldom you hear of that? Somebody that's done got that old come to know Christ. You hear about young people getting saved all the time, but you rarely hear about 75-year-old men bowing their knee, humbling themselves before a mighty God, and trusting Jesus as their Savior. Woo, that's a good report. Bible talks about a good report. Hey, I want to give a good report this morning. I don't want to come in church bragging on the devil. Listen, I've been restored. I've been requesting. And because I've been restored and I've been requesting, I've got good news to tell. I've got a report. Amen. Amen. God's people ain't reporting enough no more. I like what Brother Williams said this morning. He teaches our college and career class. Is that what you call them? Our young single people just out of high school. And in that class this morning, he said they just went around the room and all them young people in there talking about how good God is. Woo! You know what that is? That's reporting. Hey, if you don't request, can't report.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, I got problems." Oh, join the I Got Problems Club. We all got problems. But if you got a problem, you're a candidate for a miracle. Did you know every miracle in the Bible started with problems? Some little problems, some big problems. That little widow woman with Elijah, she'd have never known about that meal in that barrel had she not been hungry. Daniel would have never known how mighty his God was if it hadn't been for some hungry lions. Them Hebrew boys that got thrown in the fire wouldn't have never known how much God really loved them till they got cast in the furnace. I got a problem? Good. You're a candidate. Something big's fixing to happen. Something big's fixing to happen. We can come before God and make our request this morning. And as we make our request, God hears. David said, I cried unto the Lord. Now watch this, what he said next. And he, is the word inclined? He inclined to me his ear. In other words, David said, "Oh Lord." And God said, "I hear you, son. I hear you." He inclined to me. He bent his ear. You ever had somebody talk to you and lean a little closer? Oh, I feel something right there. Somebody's talking to you and you get a little closer. You want to get closer to God? Just start talking to Him. You know what you're doing when you're talking to God? You're drawing nigh to Him. You're getting closer to God. And God said when you draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. So it's like you're headed toward God this way. You're headed toward God and God's headed toward you. And you just meet right there in the middle. Woo! And God hears your prayer. How many of you had a prayer answered? That's all over His room. How about lately? Man, I'm telling you, this church right here, y'all ought to be as crazy as a sprayed roach, man. You ever watch one where you spray a roach, he just wiggles. Man, that's the way we ought to be. We ought to just be absolutely berserk because of all we've seen God do. We've seen God do things. I'm talking about blowing doctors' minds. Woo! Anthony Bennett, wave at me back there. That's a dead man waving right there. Fell 30 foot off our roof on his head. You say he got a hard head. No, it was busted like a pumpkin, son. He should not have lived. He walked in here by himself this morning. No wheelchair, no nothing. Still in his right mind, or as right as it was when he fell anyway. He ain't changed a bit, man. He's just more humble. You know what he says now? Have you got them both, Brother Anthony? Have you got both your rags back there with you? Said he can't bring one handkerchief to church. Got to have two. You know why? He's got something to report. Amen. Hey, when he couldn't pray for himself, when he was in a coma on life support, there were others who bombarded heaven and said, oh, God, touch our friend. God, don't let him die. And now we've all got good news to report this morning. You say, we get tired of hearing them stories. You're stupid. I know it ain't politically correct, but you're stupid. Well, we get tired of hearing about God healing Ashley from cancer from head to toe, giving her a baby that they said was impossible. You're stupid if you get tired of hearing that. You out of your mind, man. Are you listening? If somebody gave you $1 million, we'd hear about it till kingdom come. Man, God's done something for us around here money cannot buy. Amen. I could go on for hour after. I mean, just telling you the goodness of God. Amen. Telling you what I've seen God do in and through this place. And it's not just here. Sometimes that's one reason it does me good to travel. I get outside these four walls. But buddy, I travel around this country. You know what I see? I see God granting requests everywhere I go. We ain't got a monopoly on the Holy Ghost. You understand that? He's working all over this world simultaneously. Does He still work in Mexico, preacher? Hallelujah. In the midst of the drug cartel and all the wickedness, there's still a God in Mexico saving sinners and keeping people out of hell, answering mama's prayers. Amen. Thank God we've got something to report. We've got something to report because we've been restored. Because we've been requesting, now we have something to report. I want you to look at Psalms 35. Look at verse number 9. The psalmist said, and my soul shall be, say it with me, joyful in the Lord. It shall, say the next word, rejoice in His salvation. Because my soul has been restored, because my soul has been requesting, because I have good news to report, now my soul can rejoice. My soul can rejoice. Somebody said, what does it mean to rejoice? Just have a fit. You got to go to Bible college to get that, but it means just let her rip, tater chip. Amen. I mean, it means to lift up your voice and just say, woo! Why don't y'all try that? Raise your hand. On three. One, two, three. Woo! That just feels good, don't it? Don't roll your eyes at me. You old stick in the mud, sire puss. You don't even look happy. Crabby. We'll get you. I got one of them Duck Dynasty shirts. Says happy, happy, happy. We're going to get some of y'all one that says crabby. Old Phil says this. Happy, happy, happy. We'll get you one that says crabby. Amen. Hey, we got something to rejoice about. Paul said, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. What's that mean? It means rejoice a little while. When you get done, take a breath and do her again. We've got something to rejoice about. Hallelujah. I'm fixing to go to my sister's funeral, but yet I'm shouting happy right now. Why? I know where she's at. She fought some battles for an awful long time. But we sat right back there in my office one night for about an hour and a half. And I made her go over a detailed account when she trusted Christ as her Savior. I counseled with her another time. And I said, Brittany, you got to tell me about your salvation. I got to know. When people are struggling so bad, you have to wonder. And I made her tell me again. I counseled with her another time. I made her tell me again. You know what? Her story never changed, Brother Freddie. I mean, she didn't make no bones about it. She didn't bat her eye. She said, there's enough stuff I doubt in my heart. She said, but I don't doubt my salvation. I know I'm saved. So I can rejoice that she's not in agony. She's not in pain. Her inner tube just moved out and left that old junk that was giving her fits laying on the bed. Ain't Bonnie just moved out of that old, her inner tube just moved out of that old cancer-ridden body that couldn't breathe without a machine and a tube down her throat. She just said, out of here. She looked back at that body and said, see ya, sucker. Amen. Won't be needing you no more. I love that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. My favorite part is, hey, this robe of flesh, I'll drop in wrath. Hallelujah, to seize the everlasting prize and shout farewell. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Glory to God. Why farewell, Sweet Hour of Prayer? Won't need it no more. Won't be nothing to pray about then. All we're going to be doing is shouting glory, glory, glory to the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. We got something to rejoice about. Now, I want you to look at Psalms chapter 42. I'm almost done. Psalms chapter 42, verse number 5, I believe it is. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. My soul is restored. My soul began to make request of God. Then I started having good news to tell. I had something to report. And because I had something great to report, I had something to rejoice about. And then my soul gets heavy again, and I have something to respond to. Amen. You know what the problem is? The problem's not hearing the preaching. The problem's not hearing the Word of God. It's our failure to respond to it. We're going to have an altar call here in a few minutes. You know what that is? That's your opportunity for your soul to respond to what you've heard this morning. Are you listening? It's your opportunity to respond. It's like a test at the end of class. You take in what you've heard. You take in what you've learned. Then there's a test given to see what you really got. Amen? I wonder who will respond this morning. If I had a dollar for every time I've seen somebody during the invitation lift their hand and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, pray for me, and then walk out the door. That's a response, but it's the wrong one. We need to respond to God in a positive way. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Hey, would you respond to that this morning? He said, he that is athirst, let him come. Would you respond to that this morning? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I'll come into him. Would you go to the door this morning? Would you respond to God this morning? Hey, those young people had good testimonies to report because they responded to the Holy Spirit of God. If we're not careful, we'll let this world and sin harden our hearts so much that we just don't respond because we don't feel anything. Boy, that's when you ought to respond the quickest. Amen. Man, you sit in church like this today, hear the songs you've heard and the preaching you're hearing this morning, and you don't feel nothing, something's wrong with you. Yeah. Amen. So, bless God, I don't base my salvation on a feeling. I don't either. But thank God I can feel it. You're just emotional. So are you. Happy and sad, same, it's emotion. Would you respond this morning to what you've heard? Some of you are making up your mind right now, I ain't going to that altar. Why would you? That's the craziest thing I ever heard of. That's like putting that $1 million winning lottery ticket right there and saying, if you want it, you can have it, but I ain't bringing it to you. You got to at least put forth the effort and come get it. Raise your hand if you want it. And everybody raised their hand. And when the service is ended, everybody goes that way. You wouldn't walk out of here and leave $1 million laying on the table. Neither would I. I don't buy lottery tickets, but if somebody gave me one, I'd scratch it. Some of y'all can't handle that. You lying if you said you wouldn't. You ever pick one up in a store parking lot? Shoot. I pick them up hoping they miss one. Ha ha. We're going to pay the church off. Amen. Don't walk out of here without what God has for you. Let me say that again. Don't walk out of here without what God has for you. Old John R. Rice said he dreamed he died and went to heaven. And all around the throne of God, as far as you could see, was presents wrapped with ribbons and bows. And he asked God, God, what are all these gifts? He said, it's all the things I had for my children, but they never came to claim them. They never came to get them. Won't you come get what he's got? The answer's on the way if you just request it. Respond to him this morning. Let me give you this last one, and I got a couple more. Look at Psalms chapter 62. Psalms chapter 62. Remember now, you ought to do your little study. There's 120 of these in here. There's 120 of these my souls in here. I done passed 62. I'm in 72. Bear with me. Psalm 62. Look at verse number 1. He said, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Look at verse number 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Listen, my soul is waiting. Or let's look at it this way. Relaxing. Resting in him. My soul, I'm at peace. I'm at peace in my heart. There's a peace that passes all understanding. And I don't believe that's when we leave this body. We can have it in this body. We can have peace right here this morning. But there's trouble all around. Yeah, but there's peace down on the inside. Are you listening? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Lord, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. I love that song Brother Jack Patterson sang here one time. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. I'm resting in Jesus this morning. I'm not taking nerve medicine. I'm not about to crack up. Why? I know my God. I know what He'll do. Of course, I'm human. I'm nervous about this service here in a little bit. Because I know I'm going to have to sit and watch my stepdad, who I love with all my heart. I'm going to have to watch him weep and watch him hurt. I'm going to have to watch my stepbrothers and my stepsisters weep. And I don't like that part. But boy, inside my soul, there's peace that you just don't even know. Peace. I stood in this pulpit Wednesday afternoon and preached Aunt Bonnie's funeral. And I'm telling you, inside my heart, there was peace. I told him at the funeral, I know you ain't supposed to be happy at the funeral, but I'm about to have a spell. Because I could just see her. I could just see her. What was laying in that casket was precious to me because that's where my memories are. That's what I remember, that her face, her body. I remember that. But that ain't where she is. Woo! There's resting. There's resting. Listen, because my soul has been restored. Has your soul been restored? The master restoration artist is at work this morning. His shop is open if you'd come to him. Make that first request. You say, well, I pray all the time, God doesn't answer my prayer. Maybe it's because you don't know him. That first request has got to be, Lord, would you save my soul? And he will. You say, salvation can't be that simple. It is, or we wouldn't have gotten it. It is that simple. It's simply us asking him and him giving. It's truly, truly that simple. Then we can, after we've been restored, we can make requests. Brother Todd, y'all come on, get a song. After we make those requests, because our God is faithful and just, then we can report. You know what the gospel is? It's good news. We've got something to report. There's a song the choir used to sing, He's Alive. That's good news. He's alive. We have something to report. And because we have something to report, we have something to rejoice about. I know visitors a lot of times in our service, they'll wonder, what's all this hollering and shouting about? We're just rejoicing because we've made requests and God has answered those requests. Hallelujah. Now we have a chance to respond to what we've heard this morning. Let's stand our feet all over the house. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Ain't nobody looking around. Just for a minute, let's bow our head, close our eyes together. I wonder if there's one here this morning that just be real honest and say, preacher, I need to be restored. I don't know if I died right this minute. I cannot promise you with surety that if I died right now, heaven would be my home. Brother Eddie, I do not want to die and go to hell. I know I need to get this settled in my heart. Would you pray for me? If you just slip up your hand, I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. If you just slip up your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. God bless your heart. I see your hand. You can put it down. Is there any others? Preacher, I'm not sure. Just remember me when you pray. I promise you I wouldn't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, I need to get this thing settled in my heart. How about this? Preacher, I know I'm saved. Ain't no doubt in my mind. But boy, there's still some restoration needs to go on in my soul. I ain't where I ought to be. I ain't even where I want to be. Brother Eddie, would you remember me when you pray? Just slip up your hand. Hands all over his house. Thank you for your honesty this morning. Now I wonder how many will respond to what you just admitted and come and tell Jesus about it. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again this morning, in Jesus' name, thank you, God, for a good day and a glorious day. Lord, thank you that, Lord, while I'm here, you're with my family, comforting them. Lord, as only you can, I thank you for that, God. Lord, thank you for our time together this morning. Lord, you saw every hand, you know every heart. God, I pray you just have your way in this altar call. We'll thank you. Lord, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.